coming to you with words and teaching that will change your life forever.
All things that you ever need in your life, they're wrapped up in the Word. Go for the Word.
You need to understand this thing.
And when you get a hold of it, keep saying it. Don't stop talking it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. The Bible says in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Can you shout amen?
I'm setting the course that I must follow.
In the name of Jesus, prosperity is mine. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul.
Yay! Pastor Chris, word hearing.
So in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, we're sharing from the words of Jesus. He said, anything is possible. And I believe that. Do you believe it? Tell somebody, anything is possible. Yeah, that's true. Anything. Anything. Hallelujah. Anything. I want to read again from verse 19. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Unbelief. Unbelief is a problem. It's always been a problem. And many times, people who do not want to accept the fact that they are unbelieving, they think someone else is their problem. They think maybe the problem is the government, or the problem is their neighbor. Some even think their problem is their church. Very rarely do you find people who look inwards. And locate the problem of unbelief in their own lives. Now, he says, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. It's either Jesus was telling the truth or he was lying. It's either we believe that he was telling us the truth or that he was exaggerating. But I believe he told us the truth. He said, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, he said. Very little faith. He says, with your little faith, you can move mountains. God doesn't give you big faith. He never gives you big faith. He gives you little faith. And then you grow your faith. Every Christian has faith. The Bible says that God had dealt to everyone the measure of faith. Every one of us has the measure of faith. we have exactly the amount of faith that we require for anything, to effect anything in our lives. What you do with your faith is to increase it. How? By using it. If you use your faith, see, the Bible talks about more faith and strong faith. Talks about little faith and weak faith. So, it can be little and weak. And you can increase it and make it stronger. You increase it. You increase your faith by hearing the Word of God. Did you hear that? You increase it by hearing. You strengthen your faith by putting it to work, by acting on the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God, your faith grows. You see that? There's more to it. When you put it to work, your faith is strengthened, because it is tested by the crisis of life that you face. So God gave you the exact amount of faith that He gives to everybody. He's never given anybody any less than He gave to Jesus. We all have the same faith. But what we do with our faith is what matters. So my faith can be increased by hearing God's word. So that is not God's responsibility. That is my responsibility. Because now He's given me faith. And with that faith, I can listen to His word and believe it and accept it. So my faith grows. But my faith gets stronger when I put that word to work. So it talks about Abraham being not weak in faith. He was not weak in faith. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You see that? So there, he deals with weak faith and strong faith. And Jesus rebuked the disciples one time and said, "How come you got little faith?" Hallelujah. Okay. So, he said, if you use that little faith that you've got, see, it will grow. Amen. And then he tells us, you shall say, if you have faith, you're going to talk to the problem. If you have faith. He said, look at it. Verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain. He said, if you have faith, you're not going to cry and beg and plead and say, oh God, do something. Oh God. He said, you talk to the problem. If you actually have faith, talk to the problem. Don't talk about it. Talk to it. Calm the storms. If you have faith, calm the storms. You can calm the storms in your family. You can calm the storms in your workplace. You can calm the storms in your children. You can calm the storms of life. That's what Jesus did. He hushed the sea to sleep. Praise God. So, if you have faith, talk to your body. Tell the group to go. If you have faith, He said, say to the mountain, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain. Didn't say you shall say to God. He said, you shall say to the mountain. This is not dealing with prayer. You still there? This is not prayer. Because you're not talking to God. You're not asking God for anything. Why should a Christian go through life suffering with so much hardship? Why should a Christian have so much difficulty in getting anything to work? Why must it be so? It's not supposed to be. But the thing is, not many realize that that's not supposed to be. They think, you see, they're so used to suffering that they believe it's normal. It's not normal. Not after you're born again. When you're born again, everything changes. You become, hear me, you become the captain of your sheep. Oh boy. You better believe it. Hear me. After you're born again, you're responsible. Where you are today and what you are today is a result of what you made up. You created today many years ago. You are exactly what you plan to be. You'd say, no. I didn't plan to be this. I'll show you in a moment. Relax. Tell somebody, calm down. Relax. You'll be all right. You're responsible. You are what you figured out many years ago. Whether you're going to live a healthy life is up to you. It's not up to God, it's up to you. Whether you're going to be successful in your endeavors is up to you. Whether you're going to have a good family is up to you. Whether you're going to have a good home is up to you. A good marriage is up to you. It's all up to you. Your financial life is up to you. You may not agree with that, but after we're through, you'll have to be dumb. Somebody will have to pay you to misunderstand what I'm sharing with you. You understand? Yep. See. Jesus said, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Didn't say, and nothing shall be impossible unto God. Think about it. He says, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You? Is he saying you can do anything? Tell him he lied. Come on, tell him. Tell Jesus he was lying. Tell him. He didn't have enough sense, huh? This story, in St. Matthew's Gospel, we don't have the details. But when you read in St. Mark's Gospel, it gives us better detail. And I would like to point out one or two things there. St. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 9. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Good. You remember I was telling you the background of the story. It was a man who brought his son to Jesus. The boy had an epileptic spirit plus a deaf and dumb spirit. And he brought the boy to the disciples because he didn't find Jesus there. And he said, please cast the devil out of my son and so he'll be all right. Well, the disciples tried and they couldn't cast the devil out. So when Jesus came, the man went straight to Jesus. He said, Master, please help me. I brought my son to you. And I met your disciples and they tried to cast the devil out. They couldn't. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, chapter 9, let's look at it. Are you there? From verse 17, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth. And that's an epileptic spirit. And gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tell him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. See, the devil began to manifest right in the presence of Jesus. But Jesus was unmoved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, verse 21, and he asked his father, Jesus asked the boy's father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Have compassion on us and help us. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. He said, if you can do anything, I already got to your disciples. They couldn't do nothing. If you can help, please do something for us. If there's anything you can do, Lord, have compassion on us and help us. This is like, you know, somebody who's been everywhere. If you can, I've been to so-and-so and I've been to so-and-so. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Didn't demonstrate any faith. The woman with the issue of blood, you remember her? She said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Now this man says, if you can, please help. The Roman centurion said, Master, you don't have to come to my house. Stay right where you are and speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. What did Jesus say? Great is thy faith. But this man didn't demonstrate any faith. He said, if you can do anything, have compassion. You know, sometimes, you know, people feel that they're being humble, but they're being ignorant. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. What did Jesus say? Look at it. Right there in verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. See, it's not whether I can do anything, it's whether you can believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Didn't say, well, I'll try my power. See what I can do. He didn't say that. I've moved a lot of mountains. I'll surely move this. Didn't say that. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And isn't it wonderful that when the father brought his son to Jesus and complained, the demon began to manifest, and Jesus said nothing to the demon or to the boy. Just acted like they were not there. And turned to the father and said, for how long has this been? Just allowed the guy to be there on the ground and the demon tearing him and gnashing. You know, just doing it. Jesus ignored them. And he asked the father, for how long has this been? Just acted like nothing was going on. Because without faith, you cannot move him to do anything. See that? If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said, uh-uh. What can you believe? Watch. Verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And right away the father of the child cried out and said with tears. Can you see that? He cried out with tears. Have you ever seen people, you know, who act like they are Mr. Big? When you face a big problem that's bigger than you, I've heard them say, men don't cry, their eyes only turn red. When they face a big problem, a problem that's bigger than them, and many have. How many of you ever faced a problem that was bigger than your natural life? Bigger than you. Bigger than your humanity. How many of you ever did? Can I see your hand up? Are you answering, or you don't know whether or not to put up your hand? Because I know some of you. You've never faced a problem. Have you ever faced a problem that was bigger than you? You had to turn to the bigger one. How many of you ever did? You're more comfortable now. I like it. You see, you are intelligent. You know why? Because you wanted the matter carefully explained. Because you are not going to let nobody put something negative on you. That's correct. Hallelujah. Well, he says, verse 24, and right away the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. See, he was positive now. I believe. Oh, please help my unbelief. Hallelujah. But I tell you something, the people were expecting a miracle. The people around were expecting a miracle for sure. Look at it, because the Bible doesn't say, well, when Jesus saw the man's faith, many times he acted because he saw the man's faith or the woman's faith. But this time, it was a corporate faith that seemed to drown the man's unbelief. Look at it. Verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together. See, they're coming because they know he's a miracle worker. He's about to do something again. And they all started rushing that way. When Jesus saw them rushing in, he said, you devil, you come out of him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Well, you know the rest of the story. The devil went out. Because Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, we go back to St. Matthew's Gospel, the 17th chapter. And I want us to notice something there in that 20th verse. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, ye shall say unto this mountain. You shall not be afraid of the mountain. You shall say to this mountain. Doesn't matter how high it is. You shall say to this mountain. Say to it. Say to it. Say. Say. Come on. Say something. That's what Jesus is telling you. You've got to say something. Not to God. You've been crying loud enough and long enough. Talk to the problem. He says, you shall say to this mountain, remove hands, get out of here. Go over some place else, and it shall go. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Jesus said that. I believe him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've been having bad dreams, and you are looking for who's responsible? It's about time you talked to the problem. No more bad dreams. No more nightmares. Right? Tonight I am not going to have a nightmare. Period. You'll have what you say. St. Mark's Gospel. St. Mark's Gospel. Woo-hoo, glory. I've found a way out of my trouble forever. Glory. Isn't that your song right now? And you think you're like, hey, I just got the answer. And you think like that right now. Wow, man, oh man. Woo! Verse 22, chapter 11, St. Mark's Gospel. Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Well, the margin says, have the faith of God. That means have the God kind of faith. If you don't have those tapes, go get them. All right? Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, who's talking? Jesus. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, oh my, anybody, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, there's the mountain again. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. It's in your mouth, brother. You can have what you say. You can have what you say about your children. You can have what you say about your husband. You can have what you say about your family. You can have what you say about your job, about your finances. You can have what you say. Listen, when you were born again, you were born with an inheritance. When you were born again, you were born into the kingdom with every need of yours supplied. You've got to understand it. God brought you into the kingdom with an inheritance. All right? You don't lack anything. The only thing that you are not enjoying right now is the thing your faith has not brought to you. But it is there with your name on it. You have to understand that. Have you ever heard anybody say, why am I working? I'm working for my children. Hey, come on, talk to me. Did your father ever say, well, why am I working? I'm working for my children. Or did you ever say that about your children or to your children or to your wife? Maybe, why am I doing all this? It's all for my children. How many of you ever heard that? Let me see your hand. Just be honest now. All right, many of you parents here, have you ever thought about it? You're working for your children. Hey, talk to me. True? They don't know whether to agree with that. Very selfish. You shouldn't work only for your children. But, you see, work to help others become blessed. For God blessed you to make you a blessing, not only to your children. All right? But let's begin with your children. Because the Bible says if you don't take care of your family, you are worse than an infidel. You know that, don't you? All right. So, if you can think so much about your children that you believe you're ready to do anything for them, you're ready to pay anything for their education, you're ready to do anything for them to have a good life, if you, as terrible as you are, what do you suppose God is like? He has already said that everything he's got in this world is for us. Everything. Not for the angels, not for the demons, and not for himself. Just for us. If that's true, why would he require you to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray before he brings it? You know, think about this life you are living. How you are suffering with your prayer life. You have war, spiritual warfare, to get God to give you something for which Jesus died. And just think about it. You have to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray to live in health. You have to pray and 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 pray just to have a little money to pay your house rent. Now look at the special fasting and praying that you had to do to pass your last exams. The spiritual warfare you had to do not to be sent out of your house because you didn't bring the money in. Think about it. Why all these wars? You know what the Bible says? They know not, neither do they understand. They walk on in darkness. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men. Why? Because they know not. Meaning you're not supposed to die like men. Why should your life be like that? Square up. Chest out. Chin up. You belong to a great and winning kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
You have a right to have a smile on your face. Okay, all right, last year, in fact, I began sharing with you in January on the God kind of faith. And I told you how to use your mouth. All right, for some of you, you didn't quite use your mouth. You tried for the first few weeks and then you stopped because you thought it wasn't working. 7 months have come and almost gone. Things have not changed since you stopped. Why didn't you just do what I told you? By now, you would have been smiling from here to here. See? But you thought, oh, it's not working. And you are still in debt. But it worked for me. Glory. First half of the year, I hit my goals and exceeded them. How about you? What are you waiting for? In every way. Because I'm not using my mouth. Throughout this country and all around the world. I declare that I receive the money in the name of Jesus. It's coming to me in pounds, in dollars, in Dutch mark, in naira, ever, just like that. And what? And I receive. I'm not owing anywhere. And I'm not in zero. Plus. Over and above, everywhere. It's working everywhere, just working. I told you to do it. Now it's July. If you had been doing it, you gentlemen that couldn't marry, you would have married in March, but you couldn't get the house. So there's nowhere to take the wife to. You have postponed it again to December. If you had done what I told you. But I've been smiling now. You'd have seen how you'd have been giving your offering. Not squeezing something that, you know, only you and God can see. It would be so big, it would come out of your hand. You can't squeeze it. Writing fat checks for the kingdom of God. But see now. See, as I'm here, I write checks, you know, to different Christian organizations that are doing international works. See now. I'm putting money, of course, into the things we're doing here. Everything is just moving. Cool, cool, just cool. Can you imagine? Cool. Just sitting in one place. Just be talking. Someone says, well, is it so easy? Okay. You only talked for a few weeks. Try it. You say, but I've been talking. Did you talk yesterday? You say, well, only yesterday I didn't talk. Maybe that was supposed to be the key.
It's got to be every day. It has to be your lifestyle. It's like breathing. It's called kingdom talk. You don't move in and move out. It's kingdom talk. I don't talk negatively. I don't talk fears. Because I don't belong here. I'm not of this world. The place where I come from, everything is possible. See? Over in our place, everything is possible. We don't know that something is impossible. Where I come from, we're not aware that people get broke. We never get broke. I know what the problem with some people is. See, they're conscious of the earth. They're earthly minded. Earthly minded. They're thinking, well, who knows me? Who's going to... The angels that are with me in this meeting, they are more than you that are here. Just for this meeting, they are more than all of you that are here. Listen. Your job is not in the hands of your employers. They were the instruments that God used to bring you there. You are a blessing to everybody, everywhere you go. You are a, listen, you are blessings packaged. You get it? That's what you are. Anywhere they ship you to, you are like the ark of God. Do you understand? If someone touches you for good and touches you in the right way, he will be blessed. If someone touches you in the wrong way, he's in trouble. You carry the divine presence of a living God. He lives in you. He dwells in you. He walks in you. He talks in you. Have you forgotten that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Have you forgotten? When you think about your prosperity, listen, let me tell you. When you think about your prosperity, your prosperous life, think of the fact that it's got nothing to do with your friends. It's got nothing to do with your neighbors. It's got nothing to do with your children. It's got nothing to do with anybody but you and God. If anybody, whether it's your wife, it's your husband, it's your child, it's your friend, anybody, if anybody gives you anything, he has done it for his own good. You say, thank you for your kindness, but you've got to know the source. God had to get him to do it. Because in his natural mind, he will not. He said, Father, thank you for taking care of me. Glory. But if you think, well, my children are sending me, your children are not sending you anything. Jesus is doing it. My neighbors care about me so much. It's not your neighbors. It's not in their head. It's Jesus. My boss loves me so much. He keeps giving me. He's not your boss. It's the real boss, the Holy Ghost. What? Otherwise, look at you. Look at you. What do you think is in you? Why do you think they shouldn't just forget you? Why should they remember you? Give glory to God. Alright? Give him glory. And you will see more. Because when you come to that point where you realize that he is with you, the God who is more than enough, he's El Shaddai. When you realize that he is the one that supplies your every need, doesn't matter who the instrument is, if nobody will listen to him, he will do it anyhow.
If God is asking you to give me something and you refuse to give it to me, I will still get it. You just lost the blessing of yielding yourself as an instrument. God will corner somebody else and get it across to me. Look, you are special. I'm telling you, you are special. The only reason you haven't experienced those kind of blessings is because you don't expect them. See, you're not walking like someone who is the heir of such blessings. You're not acting like that. You want to act like that. Those who expect big are big givers. Why? Because they can't think about hoarding. They know there's more coming. The Bible says you would lay up gold as dust. You know what that means? If we clean this place today, if we clean up the dust, come back tomorrow, there will still be dust. So he's not only talking about the quantity. He's talking about the constant supply. You wipe it out, it will come back. It says, they shall lay up gold as dust. So that's your special once a year handbag that you are keeping that. It's so expensive, nobody can have it. Go and give it out. That is your problem. That handbag. I just saw somebody's handbag now. I saw it in your house. Special handbag. But you only use it once a year. You say, how can you just see your handbag like that? That's how it is. You have to learn to free yourself. You're the king's kid. There are better handbags than that one. When you say, above this handbag in Jesus' name, better handbags will come. But as you hold on, God will say, keep it. Glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can have what you say. See, nobody can change your life. Only you can change your life. Nobody can. Your uncle cannot do it. Don't get angry with your uncle. My uncle is a big man. He can't help anybody. In the whole family, he's the biggest, and he will not do anything for anybody. Forget about your uncle, brother. Can't you think of becoming a blessing to your uncle? Think about becoming a blessing to your uncle. Stop thinking about what they can do for you. What mommy or uncle or brother or neighbor. Stop talking about. Look. Everything you will ever need to have a wonderful, prosperous, glorious, influential, affluential life has been delivered to you. It's all yours in Christ Jesus. You can have what you say. Yeah. See, in Proverbs, we read something the other day. Oh boy, do I need to take you to Proverbs? I already read that to you. All right. Okay, Proverbs. Chapter 18. And am I reading to you from verse 7? I love verse 6. I want you to read verse 6. mouthwort calls for strokes. Kubuku. His mouth calls for what? Strokes. See why he's suffering? His lips, the words from that man, get him into contentions. His mouth calls for strokes. God is angry with any foolish man. And who is a foolish man? A foolish man is a man that has refused to see the word of God. That's the true definition of a foolish man. So when you talk about a foolish man, you don't think of someone who opens his mouth and saliva is dropping out. It doesn't have to be that bad. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said, I, by my power, I built this great company. I've employed 65,000 workers. I know what I've done with my life. God says, his mouth is what? Calling for kobuko. Go and find out what is happening in America. Enron, WorldCom, didn't they call for kobuko? If you don't know about them, forget about them. Don't worry. They don't mean anything. All right. So, you look at it. Over six. A fool's lips enter in a contention, and his mouth called for strokes. Another version says blows. His mouth calls for blows. Verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Oh! Tell somebody, don't be like that. All right. Can I show you something else? Okay. Look at chapter 15 quickly. And read verse 4 one more time. Same book, Proverbs. Want to go. Alright, a wholesome tongue is what? A tree of life. Good. Look at chapter 18 again and read verse 21. Want to go? Death and life are what? In the power of the tongue. One more time. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Alright, now look at verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Talk about words. Your empty store will be filled if you talk right. If you just learn to talk right. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Yep. This is very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. Look at chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 24. What does it say? Put away from thee a contrary mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Somebody who talks negatively, he says, put him far from you. He talks negatively. Don't accept his words. When they talk their fears, don't accept those fears. It matters what you read. It matters what you read. It matters what you watch. It matters what you listen to. Look at verse 23. Read out, want to go. Yeah, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the forces of life. The forces of life to bring you good. They're in your heart. He says, keep it with all diligence. That means guard it, guard it, guard it with all diligence. Don't let just anything get into your heart. Don't accept just any kind of thought. Negative thinking is unacceptable in the realm of victory. That's why he said to Joshua, meditate upon these things. Meditate upon the word day and night. He says, you shall make your way prosperous and have good success. Paul said the same thing to Timothy. He said, meditate upon these things. Give yourself completely to them that your profiting may appear to all. They will see your increase. Glory to God. That your profiting may appear to all. He says, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. That's what I do. And then they start wondering about your prosperity. They can't understand it. They preach the word, but they don't believe it. This thing is true. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God forevermore. All right, let me rush this thing for you. Now, you remember Job. We're talking about Job. Job's such a nice man. We've read about him. He was such a wonderful man. God gave a beautiful testimony of Job, the man Job. God testified to Satan. He said, have you seen my servant Job? Do you know there's nobody like him in the whole world? A man who fears God, abhors evil. Do you know Job? Satan said, oh yeah, I know him. You've blessed him. I've been to his house. You built a hedge about him. I tried his business. You built a hedge about his business. Nobody could touch him. That's why you prospered him. Satan testified, he accused God of blessing Job. Can you see? It's not Satan who gives people prosperity, it's God. And when God prospers you, he protects your prosperity. Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. Somebody said, if we are getting blessed like this, we better be careful though, because with blessings there are troubles. God does not give you blessing with sorrow. Somebody bought a new car. He went to hide it. Said, I can't go out with it. If I should go out with it, they may shoot me. Go and sell the car. If you're afraid. He moved into a new house. You sneak in and sneak out. You're scared. Someone gave you a new suit. You went to keep it in the wardrobe. We can't wear it. They will think I have money now if I should wear it. They will think I have money. What type of life is this? When God gives you something, he protects it for you. Oh, glory. I said glory. You've been promoted. They said, don't tell anybody that you're promoted, because if the demons should hear, if wicked people should hear, they will start sending buttons or whatever, bullets against you in the spirit to tear you down. How can they tear you down? Promotion doesn't come from the east or west, it comes from God. If God promotes you, nobody can bring you down. Hey, come on. Well, God blessed, he blessed Job so much. Job was such a prosperous man. Bible tells us, Job was so careful, you know, he would even gather his children together and say, did anybody do something wrong today? I said, well, we don't know. And then he would have to offer a sacrifice in case somebody did something wrong. He was so perfect. And you know something about Mr. Perfects? They always have some problems. People who are perfectionists, they find it hard to forgive themselves. He said, what have I done? You know, when all his children died and his business crumbled, everybody, you know, everything was down. His wife now left him. He became alone. He was now also sick. He said, what have I done? What have I done? I've done everything rightly. What have I done? I said it. Okay, if I show you about Job, you will want to arrest him. Such a wonderful man that God spoke so well about. Some of you don't know how God has testified of you. There's some people, they just blow it. Just at the time they ought to hold on. They say, I've been holding on for so long. Ah! 5 days. 5 days. Symptoms of malaria. I've been trying. Ah! The fifth day, I couldn't take it anymore. I've been confessing day one, day two, day three. Ah! By the fifth day, you were knocked down. Say, I've tried. 5 days. Am I the only one? Brother, you should have held on because God was out there testifying of you. Look at my son. Day one, he said, devil, pull your last trick. Come on. Throw your best shot. And you were there. This is day four. And God was saying, he is not moving. Go ahead, devil. Throw your best shot. And then you suddenly say, what is it? Am I the only one? And then what did they do in heaven? Read your Bible. It tells us that they are watching us from the grandstands of glory. They're watching us. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Paul is looking at you. Peter's looking at you. And I can imagine Paul saying, I wish I had that time. Hallelujah. So don't give up. Look at your neighbor and say, don't give up. Don't give up. Because the devil is about to give up. Hey, don't give up. The devil will give up. That devil will give up. Somebody has to bend. And it's not going to be you. Someone has to give up. And it's the devil who will give up. Hallelujah. Say, I'm not quitting. The devil has to quit. He has to bow. Because I'm not going to give up. Devil, throw your best shot. I'm not giving up. Throw your best shot. Go ahead. I'm still more than a conqueror. Go ahead. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Devil, throw your best shot. Remember, he fought you in the school, but you came out of it. Are you hearing me? He fought you on the job, you came out of it. He fought you at home, you came out of it. Throw your best shot. Says Satan, come on, say this. Satan, I am well trained. I know who I am. I know what I got. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Sit down. Make it hotter. You know, they said, make the fire 7 times hotter. And it threw those guys in. 7 times hotter. It still didn't work. Hallelujah. You know, just about the time Job, you know, God testified about Job so good. And Job, not knowing what was going on in the realm of the spirit, his wife had gone. The children were dead. The business was down. Now he was sick also. His friends said, let's go visit Job. We'd heard he's in a bad shape. So when they saw him afar off, the Bible says they couldn't recognize him. He was in such a bad shape. that all three of them fell down and they began to mourn for their friend Job. It was too bad. They wouldn't even go close to him. They had to talk to him from a distance. Hi, Job, you, or four people? Ah, oh. But what happened to Job? Somebody said, God was trying Job. God wasn't trying Job. God didn't try Job. You know, one time I heard a man say that, if God should just, if God is going to do something like Job to him, he should just not prosper him. I would rather not have anything than go through Job's experience. It was not God who did that to Job. See, when you study it on a surface level, you will never discover how Job got into that situation. The Bible tells us God boasted about Job. And everything God said about Job was true. Can we read quickly? Job chapter 1. Hurry, hurry, hurry. And I'm reading from verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it, because I don't have a home address. And that's true, you know. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for nothing? Hast not thou made an hedge about him? I've been to his house. You made an hedge about him and all his house and about all that he had on every side, because I tried everywhere, couldn't get in. That's the way Satan knew God built an hedge about Job. And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Wow. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now, between verse 11 and verse 12, is a time that has not been given to us. How long it is, we do not know. But sure enough, it was not verse 12 doesn't follow verse 11 immediately, like some people think, you know, just along the line of discussion. Because in the realm of the spirit, the clock doesn't tick like it does here. Are you hearing me? They're not under the same time frame like we are. They're not regulated by the same forces that we are regulated by on earth. It's like when you read in Genesis chapter 1, when you read from verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. Now, God didn't create an earth that was without form and void. There's a great difference between the heavens and the earth that God created and the formlessness of the earth when it became void. There's a great difference. A great span of time passed by. And when you study in the book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah, and the book of Ezekiel, you'll get to know exactly what happened between both. Both statements. It's a long time that passed by. You're reading the words of prophets. These are revelations, because nobody went to heaven to see how God was there talking to Satan in the presence of the angels. It had to be by revelation. You understand? And the same way when you're studying the book of Revelation, that the last book of the Bible, when you study there, you'd find certain things that happened before the others being put afterward. So you'll have to study maybe the book of Daniel and some of the words of Jesus, some of the prophecies of the end time in other books to understand what event comes before the other. So you do not read with the thinking of men. Are you hearing me? So all that time that Satan was with God and God was questioning Satan and talking to him about Job, something was going on earth. How long we do not know. But sure enough, it was not immediate the way we think.
I can tell by the next verse. I can tell by what happens. I can tell by the statements, the context of the discussion. Are you ready to see it? All right. Now look at verse 11 again. Satan says to God, "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Look at verse 12. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now look at, that's very remarkable. He said, "Put your hand and touch what he's got, and he will curse you to your face." Now, God didn't say, "All right, I'm going to do it." God didn't do what Satan said. And God didn't say, "Now, I put what he's got into your power." God didn't say that. God said, "See, all he's got is in your power." He said, "Behold, what he's got is in your power. Look." What did God see? He saw that Job had changed things. That's what God saw. And Satan knew pretty well what was going on. So God said, "Now, but don't touch his life." That was God's mercy. So God wasn't testing Job. So who destroyed Job's business? Who destroyed Job's children? Who scattered his family? Who destroyed his marriage? It was not God. And it didn't happen by God's permission. Somebody said God permitted it. God doesn't permit evil. He didn't permit it. Listen. When Jesus said, now, when we read just now in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Is that New Testament? So that revelation has been there long ago. When Jesus said, "And nothing shall be impossible unto you," in St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 20, was he talking to people who were born again? No. The apostles were not born again at the time. That's not New Testament. Do you understand? So it was something that Job should have known. But Job fouled things up. He messed things up. It was Job that was responsible. From studying the life of Job, I can tell you the kind of man that he was. See, everything is not dependent on how good you are. It's not enough. Let me show you. When everything went down, because his children were destroyed, his business went down, everything was gone. His wife left him. He became sick. Holes in his body. Beyond recognition. Then Job began to lament his life. Look at chapter 3. After this, from verse 1, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. He refused to curse God. You know, his wife said, "Curse God and die. It's no use for you to live. You're finished." He rather cursed the day he was born. And he says, "And Job spake and said, Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, There is a man child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above." This will tell you the extent of his suffering. But go down to verse, he's still talking. He's still talking. In verse 19, he says, "The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul? Why should I live?" That's what he's asking. Why am I still alive? My soul is in misery. Why am I living? He's asking for death. It's better to die than to be in this mess. Verse 20, "Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures. which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? He says, God is the one destroying him. For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. Can you see Job's problem? Can you see Job's problem? He said, the thing which I feared is come upon me. How sad. How sad. Look at it. The man was living in fear all the time. He had so much and he was afraid of losing them. He was afraid of losing what he had. He said, the thing which I greatly feared. He's not talking about little fear. He said, I greatly feared. The thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. The man was living in fear. Fear. Listen to this. I wrote something down for you. Let me read it to you. I wrote here, if there's fear in your heart, it will come out in words and produce more fear. You see that? He says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the forces of life. Don't let fear come in. You've got to stop the fear. Fear is faith in the ability of your adversary. Can you see it? So it's negative faith. It's not faith in God. It's faith in the ability of your adversary. You're having faith in the ability of something that's going to destroy you. If there's faith in your heart, it will reveal itself in words. Fat words, and it'll produce more faith. But the man had fear. And the Bible, come on, let me show you more. Look at the next verse. I was not in safety. Can you imagine this man's confession? Even Satan knew that he was in a safe place. This guy, Job, he confesses before his friends that he was not in safety. He says, I was not in safety. Neither had I rest. Neither was I quiet about it. I didn't keep quiet. I told everybody, watch out. I don't know what's going to happen to me. Well, we'll see all the wealth I got today. Don't know. Tomorrow I may not have everything back. Well, I don't know what will happen. See, I was not in safety, but he was in safety. Neither had I rest, but he had rest. He said, and I wasn't quiet about it. I was telling everybody about my fears. He says, yet trouble came. You see, the human thinking is, if I alert everybody, you understand how some people are. They say, well, I don't know. Please, all of you know my neighbor. The way he behaves, I just want you all to know. The way he behaves. If anything happens to me, I want you to know who is the cause. That's the kind of man Job was. He says, I was not in safety. Neither had I rest. Every night he was looking out through his window. And I wasn't quiet about it. I told everybody, I don't know what's going on. The way that guy is, he's a terrible guy. Please watch out. Look, if anything happens to me. Said, I wasn't talking. And you know, when they talk like that, they think that they're trying to make that guy stay away. Because everybody knows you are the dangerous fellow around. You think you're going to stop him? He says, yet trouble came. In spite of all that, trouble still came. Job is amazed. He's surprised. He's flabbergasted. He can't think about it. Why should it have happened to me? Why? God says, shut up, Job. You put your life in Satan's hands by yourself. The Bible says, he that breaketh an edge, a serpent will bite him. God didn't break the hedge. It was God who built it. Satan saw it. And when Satan saw it, couldn't go through. Now look, the hedge was there when Satan went to God. Are you hearing me? And Satan said, God, you already built a hedge around Job. Now when God said, look, all he's got is in your hand. What happened to the hedge? It was still there. But God saw something happen to the hedge. Job broke it. The Bible says, if you break the hedge, a serpent, that's the devil, He said, the serpent will bite you. It's the devil. And the devil went in and struck. That's what messed Job's life up. But you know, God is faithful. In his sufferings, Job didn't curse God. And when he was boasting about his righteousness, I haven't done anything wrong. What have I done? Why should this happen to me? Until God spoke and said, who is this talking without knowledge? You read the words of God. When God rebuked Job, Job said, wow, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. I abhor myself. I repent in dust and ashes. I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know you were there. You know. Hallelujah. Then God had mercy on him and gave him twice as much everything he had before. Glory to God. Because God is merciful. Amen. But he didn't have to go through all those sufferings. You don't need those funny stories, rags to riches kind of story. You don't need all that. When you're born again, you don't have to go through all the mess. You don't have to sell your whole house, you know, just because you can't pay this or you can't pay that. No, if you're sowing your seed, good. But don't be forced into something because the devil's crushing your life. Refuse to be crushed. Are you hearing me? Jesus already died for you. No greater sacrifice could have been made. He's done everything he ever had to do. He's paid enough for you. And what does it take for your position to change? What does it take? I'll tell you. What does it take? Are you going to have to fast 40 days and 40 nights to change? What does it take? Are you going to have to wait until you understand and read everything from Genesis to Revelation? What does it take? What does it take? Are you going to have to go back home and say, oh God, all the sins I ever committed? What does it take? I'll tell you what it takes. All it takes is a three-letter word. Yes. That's all it takes. Say yes to his blessing. Say yes to the name he has called you. Say yes to your inheritance. Say yes to the Bible. Say yes to the Holy Ghost. That's all it takes. When you say, yes, I am what God says I am. You say, yes, I have what God says I have. Yes, I can do what God says I can do. Yes, I'm a blessing. Yes, I've found my roots. I've found my place. I'm a success. Glory to God. You are not the poor trying to get rich. You are rich. You are the blessed of God. The health of God is in your body. No infection can stay in your blood. It's time to talk now. Use your mouth now. Come on, use your mouth now. Use your mouth. 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 Use your mouth now. Put things in place. Use your mouth now. Put things in the right places. At work, at home, in your marriage, for your children, for your finances, for your body. Put things in place.
The message you've just heard was produced by the Lovell Tape Ministry. For more information, please contact Lovell Tape Ministry. Post office number 13563. Email address cec@christembassy.org. Or better still, you can find us on the web www.christembassy.org. God bless you.